It is time for Appraise This, a time where we get together with Tim Luke and Greg Schramm of Treasure Quest Appraisal Group. We do it every Tuesday, and you can find them on the web at tqag.com. And if we're lucky and Skype is operating properly, right here, right now. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey.
It sounds like you're both in the same place.
We are.
My God.
Put this day on your calendar.
I was going to say. I tell you, what you guys must have more travel miles backed up than any other couple that I know.
Well, actually, Tim just made, when was it, last month? Made a couple months ago, just made million mile flyer.
Yeah, million miler on Delta. So,
man.
Yeah.
Did you get something? Did you get something good for that?
There was a $250 gift card, which was great, and also you get you're included in their analog as you get upgrades. You are preferred for the upgrades, so I was like, oh, that's good.
Most importantly, he got a brand new luggage tag that was for a million miles.
Hey, a million miles. Did you shake your head and say, oh, my God, I've really traveled over a million miles on one airline?
I know. It's crazy. It's really crazy. It really is. But, you know, it's, I guess you just don't realize, because that's just part of what the job is that's part of the daily thing. Or weekly or monthly, it's like, oh, okay, we're going here, and then we're doing this, and we're doing that. So after a while, it just becomes, okay, that's my commuting. Instead of driving in a car, I'm in a plane and go somewhere and do our, you know, an appraisal inspections, and then go to the next. So
I always joke when we're traveling, because I don't travel as much, so I'm still only at silver level on Delta, and so I always joke that I have to walk at least three steps behind Tim, because he had so many miles, you know, if I want to enjoy like flying at in, you know, like the companion ticket. So, but now that he's a million miler, I feel like I have to walk at least 10 steps behind him.
Oh,
so,
stop.
Well, I'll tell you, both of your friends, many years ago, their predictions have come true. Tim and Greg, you're going to go someplace.
Yeah.
Many places, many, many, many places.
Well, you know, interesting. I keep asking him when he travels, how many, because I know he's trying one of his bucket list things is to travel to every state in the country. And I think, you have like maybe three left?
No, I think it's four or five. I've got to sit down and look. But, yeah, I hit a couple of them this year and last year. So it's dwindled down. It might be three, it might be four.
Is Alaska one of them?
Alaska is one of them.
Okay.
Yeah, Alaska's one. Alaska, North and South Dakota, you know, those two. And Maine. Those I think are the four states I haven't been to yet. Oh, and Vermont. No, it's five. So it is.
All right. North and South Dakota, they always upset me. They have about 16 people that live there, and they get the same number of senators each state than everybody else. Beautiful places. Beautiful places. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
But about 16 people live in each state.
Yeah, it's like miles and miles and miles of nothing but miles and miles and miles.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. All right, well, let's get on to some interesting stories. And this is an interesting story. A rare raptor skeleton. Christie's hopes in raking in $6 million. I think this auction is coming up on May, very soon, May 12th, as a matter of fact. Now,
yes.
Where would they get that raptor skeleton? I mean, you would figure that would be in a museum someplace.
Probably from the prop room of the Jurassic Park. I have no idea where they would find them. I mean, to find one, you know, a complete skeleton. I'm curious as to how old, where it came from to begin with. I'll have to find it.
Yeah, well, it's over 50 million years old, which is amazing.
And what makes it rare is that it's basically complete.
Right.
I mean,
having all of the pieces, I mean, that's what really makes it. And I think that's what's going to make it desirable and sell for a lot of money. It is, you know, it is coming up, and I guess the piece is it's from a private collector, but it has been exhibited. It was exhibited in Copenhagen at the Natural History Museum of Denmark. And so it's been on display, and probably once the person got it out of their home, they said, look at all this space. And they said, let's sell it. It's been on exhibition. This is really great.
Well, it was dug up.
It's amazing.
You know where it was dug up? I bet you haven't been to this state. It was dug up in Wyoming.
Oh, I've been to Wyoming.
You have? Yes. Okay. Well, it was dug up in Wyoming, and they estimate it's anywhere from 108 to 115 million years old.
Wow. Wow. That is amazing.
That's a cool story.
And
yeah.
From the tremendous age. So you have a lot of things going in its favor. You've got the age. You've got the completeness of the piece as well. And it's basically the only known privately owned specimen that is so complete in existence. So all of those things are playing into its favor to do really well at auction.
Go someplace else. There's a story that I found on the web. A British surgeon back in the 80s purchased a vase for a few hundred pounds, had it up in his kitchen. Well, guess what? It's a Chinese artifact. And now it's going to go up probably for auction, and it's estimated to sell for anywhere from $125,000 to $185,000. Can you imagine it was in the kitchen? The chances of it not getting broke are just so low. It's unbelievable.
Right. That's what's always amazing to me about when these finds. It's like the old lady who sells her 1965 Chevy, and it only has 150 miles on it because she only drove to church on Saturday or Sunday. And you just wonder what kept it from being scratched. It's the same thing with these kind of finds. You know, when something sits in a house or is, kind of out of sight and out of mind, it just sometimes these things happen, and it's truly more amazing that it isn't damaged or flawed than the fact that it is what it is. So because it happens more often than you think.
Well, and it's actually a very beautiful vase. It's 18th century, and it is 18th century Quinlong. It was the Quinlong Emperor. From the court of the Quinlong Emperor time period, and it's really interesting that when he paid, he really didn't pay a whole lot, and it's one of those things. This is why it is so important to have professionals come and take a look at your items before you throw them out, or estate items. We were on site yesterday, and we're going to be on site again. I'll be on site today, and then another estate on Thursday. And part of the whole exercise is to make sure that we look over everything, we do our due diligence, make sure that there isn't anything like this that's just hiding. And because of its size, the color is beautiful. It's a beautiful cobalt blue with this with the gold highlighting, and really done well. But I would imagine that somebody just, especially whenever it was when he purchased this, just thought, oh, it's just this old vase. It's just
well, that's a story that's we tell because that actually happened to us. Although it was in Chinese vase,
right?
But we got called in by a family to come and take a look. They were going to be there for the weekend because they're. Mother had passed away, and they had to get everything out of the house, and they were going to have a garage sale. So they decided to call us in and see if there was anything there or that worth selling at higher prices. So we go through, and most of the stuff was just the stuff of everyday life. And then we opened a closet, and on the top shelf there was this vase sitting there, and we looked at it, and it turned out that it was a very famous artist from the 1912 from the what was the school? I forget the name of the school.
It's now Tulane.
Yeah, yeah. And it was a piece, and they said, "Oh, we're going to put that." We thought we'd probably ask $10 for it, and it turns out we ended up selling it for them for $25,000.
Not too bad. Not too bad.
I mean, but it's still more amazing to me that these pieces are, they come in one piece and that they're not damaged or, because, you know, even if they are damaged, when they're that rare, they still bring a lot of money, but everybody wants one that is in perfect condition. So, and this sounds like it's one of those very rare pieces. So yeah. I hope it does well.
Interesting story that it, just a couple of days ago at Rockefeller Center, Christie's is projecting Andy Warhol's portrait of Marilyn Monroe on the facade of Rockefeller Center. Now, I think it's kind of cool. I would bet you there's some true art enthusiasts that are upset about it, but I think it's so cool for people to be able to just walk by and see it there.
Yes. It's, and, you know, it's interesting. So they're going to be projecting that, but they also, there was a story about Christie's is sending a whole, we talked about it, the hologram around the country, going around the world. So that they can exhibit these pieces, but then not have to actually transport them and save a lot of the wear and tear on the packaging and moving and all of those things. It's fascinating because when we talked about it with the other piece, is that it appears Christie's has a limited partnership or something with this company, and they're trying out all these different things. So it's fascinating to see how technology is really influencing the mass marketing, I would say, of just getting the word out.
Well, I was just going to say that you call it mass marketing. I'm telling you, it's just plain smart marketing, because by marketing like this, you're reaching out beyond your normal Christie's. Attracts a certain clientele, but by doing the things they're doing, even if they only get a 7% of the other, they're going to get an additional bunch of people that find out what Christie's is, and they'll become interested in it.
Right. It's brilliant, and I think that it's great because it's putting it out there, but it's also with the way, especially if they're projecting this, it's making it larger than life, which is wonderful.
And it's bringing it to people that have no idea that it's there. That's the great thing about it. That's the great thing about it.
Agreed.
All right, this is a great story. Jackie Robinson, we all know, most of us know, was just an amazing baseball player, the first black player to play in Major League Baseball. His bat that he used in the 1949 All-Star Game, $1.8 million at an auction.
Oh, wow.
The most expensive baseball bat ever sold at auction is one that belongs to Babe Ruth, and that was his first Yankee Stadium home run. That is $1.265 million. So those are two extremely rare bats, and it's funny that you can see the picture of the detail. The condition these bats have been kept in is absolutely amazing.
Yeah. And you know, baseball itself, we've just been watching over the last couple of years, even through the crazy pandemic, sports memorabilia has continued to just increase in not only desirability, but also in value. And when you have something that is rare, legendary, also just this amazing piece of sports memorabilia, this is what happens. And we're seeing it break the $1 million mark, which for collectibles and sports memorabilia and things like that, 20 years ago, I never thought that I would say, oh yeah, something like that's going to break $1 million. But here we are. And I think that will also bring other rare and really desirable pieces out, because when you start breaking records like this, that's when people start saying, oh, but I have this. Wait. But wait, there's more.
You know, and you compare that to my final thing that I'll bring up with you guys. There's an autographed manuscript by Philip the Fair, French history, parchment, written in by the Iron King, who lived from 1285 to 1314. I think that's an amazing thing to me, that a piece of parchment will last this long and be around to be appreciated, not only sold, but be appreciated. Really, when you think back, it really is an amazing story when something that old on something that fragile is still around.
Yeah, that I really like those sort of artifacts. I know when we were in Europe, we went to some of the great cathedral museums where they had a lot of these documents. And first of all, they're beautiful to look at. They're actually pieces of art in and of themselves. But to have something that is still in such fantastic condition from such, and to have it be in one piece and to have been revered all this time and to just been passed down and taken care of and curated all these many years, that also is an amazing feat. And when these things come up, it's usually, to me, it's very spectacular because just the technology of the time when this thing existed, I mean, printing was just getting started. And so now to find these things, it's really fascinating to see them. And I would like to follow this story just to see what happens.
Where it goes. Yeah, well, the last thing I wanted to bring up there is, and it's also coming up, May is a big month. We have a number of things coming up, but very quickly, it's the lost Judy Garland dress from The Wizard of Oz, and it apparently was found at the New Catholic University. It was gifted to them by one of their performers, and I think it was gifted in the 70s, and it just has been sitting in an archive or in a closet, basically. And they are now, the university is selling this to help fund scholarships for their theater department. So that's coming up at Bonhams. And this is, they're expecting it to go for over $1 million. The last one that sold for $1.5 million, which was a Dorothy dress. So this one is complete. And it also has the white blouse that was sewn into it. And it's a pretty significant piece of entertainment memorabilia. So it'll be interesting to see what that ends up selling for.
You know, I'm surprised what's never been up for auction, the bike she rode with Toto in that back basket. You know, you would figure that would be worth tons of money.
Yes.
I never thought of that, but you're absolutely right.
it's a great crossover too, because you have a lot of bicycle collectors entertainment collectors. Yeah, that's really fun. Yeah. That would be fun to see and that could have been destroyed, because remember that there were a number of props and clothing, costumes, variety of pieces that were on the sets. And I think there was a fire that broke out, but then there was a major, major sale where they just, they threw a lot of things out, but then they sold some things. It was like an 8-day sale. They were just getting rid of stuff and just thought, oh. And if it was just a bicycle, it could have been to them, you know, at that point, to anyone who was looking at it. I was like, oh, this is just a prop, throw it, move it, do it, whatever.
But stop and think about how many great costume props that haven't ever come up for sale. Like Glinda, the Good Witch, her crown, her dress, right. Her wand, all of that. I've never seen any of that stuff come up. So I think it's got to be out there somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like I said, but it's great. It's, you know what? You've got an iconic movie. It's not necessarily a great movie, but it's an iconic movie in American history. And there's all this stuff floating around out there. From when we first started talking, how many years ago? 12 years ago, 13, 14 years ago?
Right.
the number of people now that follow auctions, whether or not they participate in or not, truly is amazing. I think it's in the past 12, 13, 14 years gone from a very limited subject to a subject that's wide open.
And I think that there again, that has to do with, we've talked about this, the internet, because now it's kind of demystified the aura of what an auction is. And now people just everyday people like us, we can just go on and sign up and bid on some of these things. And it's really an amazing amazing thing that's happened that has brought all of these things to everyday people that they would never see before. And even if they don't, even if all they do is just go on and look behind the scenes, to be able to see what happens and what's out there and what's being offered that people can bid on, it's truly an amazing thing, and it's changed our industry for the better. And I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but I'm not even going to mention it. I'm going to try to get through one show without mentioning the word.
That's right. Don't. Don't you dare.
I promise. I'm not going to.
Right, guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Have a great week.
Take care. Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the Frick and Frack of Nick and Knack, with Appraise This here on Robinhood Radio. And once again, you can find them at tqag.com on the web.